Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Well, hello and welcome to Engage for Success Radio with me, Jo Moffat. For those of you who are new to the show, a little bit about Engage for Success. Engage for Success is a not-for-profit movement and we are the UK's leading voice on the topic of employee engagement. We're raising awareness and running events through our area networks around the country and our topic and sector-specific thought and action groups, developing research, publishing case studies, and shining a light on great practice. Do visit us at engageforsuccess.org, where you can learn more and sign up for our regular weekly newsletter. So I'm Jo Moffat. I'm one of the regular hosts of Engage for Success Radio. But as with everyone who's involved in Engage for Success, which, as I said, is a not-for-profit movement, it's entirely supported by volunteers. We have no full-time or paid employees. So I'm one of the volunteers who hosts the show, but I also have a day job, as does everyone else involved in the movement. I'm managing director and founder of Woodread, which is a specialist creative agency where we use the tools, the techniques, and the insight-led approach of the advertising and marketing world to help our clients create great places to work, high-performing cultures of engaged employees. So, welcome to radio show number 485. And today we're going to be exploring a concept which I have to say was unfamiliar to me until I researched today's guest. And we're going to be talking about why mid-sized German companies are such a leading force on the global business stage. And to help us explore that topic, I'm very pleased to welcome today's guest, Hermann Simon. Hermann is founder of Simon Kucher and Partners, and he is also their honorary chairman. And Simon Kucher and Partners is the world's leading price consultancy. They've got over 2,000 employees in 43 offices in 28 countries, so a truly global presence. And Hermann is ranked on the Thinkers 50 list of the most influential international management thinkers, and considered to be the world's foremost authority on pricing strategy. He's written over 40 books, which have been translated into 30 languages. And one of those is called Hidden Champions. And that's the concept that we're going to be exploring in a little bit more detail today. So welcome to the show, Hermann. It's lovely to have you with us. And we're going to be talking about how organizations can play by the changing rules of achieving market-leading positions and how by doing that they can win and be successful, and you're going to be sharing some insights into that for us. So good to have you with us, Hermann. Hello.
Hi, Jo. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, pleasure to have you. I wonder if we can just begin by asking you just to tell us a little more. I mean, I've given a little bit of an introduction to you and your credentials, but tell us a little bit about your background and what you have done over the years.
In my first life, I was a professor of business administration. My last position was at Johannes Gutenberg University in Mainz. Mm-hmm. And I also spent 3 years in the United States, Harvard, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and Stanford. And I had always the ambition to apply what I was doing in academic research. And so I founded Simon Kucher & Partners. Dr. Kucher was my first doctoral student, and as said today, we are also a hidden champion because people in the street do not know us, but we are a global market leader in price consulting and have a substantial site now, 2,200 employees. Actually, it's 47 offices in the meantime in 30 countries. Right. And so I applied what I found out about these strange companies. How can companies be champions on the one side? Normally we know champions, but be hidden mm-hmm. on the other side.
Yes, and it's interesting. It's an intriguing concept.
Yeah, it's interesting how this idea emerged. In 1987, a famous Harvard professor Ted Levitt, he made the term globalization popular. Mm-hmm. He asked me, why are the Germans so successful in exports? And exactly in that year, we had become, for the first time, the number one in exports. I pondered over this problem, and everybody thinks that's due to the large companies, which everybody knows, like Mercedes, BMW, Siemens, BASF, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out over the years that this is not true. Germany is so strong and has remained until today so strong. For instance, we have twice the per capita exports than the UK, four times the per capita exports of the US.
Mm-hmm.
That the backbone of the German export performance is in mid-sized, small and mid-sized companies, which very often hold global market leader position, but nobody knows them. How can that
and
be?
And these are your hidden champions.
Yeah, and in 1990, I coined this term, champions mm-hmm. hidden, this contradiction. And today, if you go into Google, you find millions of entries if you enter hidden champions. So it has become a kind of global buzzword of a new kind of strategy. And behind this is the reality. The reality is as follows. If you ask people, what is the economy? They say automobiles, big airplanes, mobile communication, etc. So they think that the economy is confined to big markets they know from their experience.
Right.
In reality, the economy is very different. It consists of tens of thousands of separable markets. And in each of those markets, you have a global market leader. 98% of all markets are small and niche markets and not the big ones people have in their mind. And this is the playground, you could say, of the hidden champions. And I detected about 4,000 hidden champions worldwide in the meantime. Mm-hmm. And Germany has by far the largest number with about 1,600. So 40% of all global market leaders, mid-sized global market leaders, are from Germany. And nobody knows them. Just to give you one number, I can let you guess. How many suppliers does Apple have in Germany? So Apple makes the iPhone and the computers.
Yeah.
How many suppliers does Apple have in Germany?
Oh, my goodness. I really wouldn't
Most
like to
people
hazard
guess,
a guess.
Maybe 10, maybe 20.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought most of their suppliers would be in Asia. So
yeah, 667 suppliers in Germany.
Good heavens.
Supply their products to Apple. Just
well,
to give you one example,
or both.
Everything, mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. the steel encasing to the software. There's one software you know, Siri of Apple or Alexa of Amazon, mm-hmm. where you can ask questions and you get an answer.
Sure.
The software behind this is called LSTM. That stands for long short-term memory, mm-hmm. installed on more than 3 billion smartphones from Germany, invented by Professor Schmidhuber from the Technical University of Munich. That's just one case.
Goodness. Okay. So
all of this is invisible. The value chains of complex products are extremely deep, with many suppliers, buyer, contributors, etc., and
mm-hmm.
people are not aware of this reality.
Well, no, clearly, and that's where the hidden champions name comes in. So, why are there so many of them in Germany then?
That has historical traditions. We have many regions with very, very special competencies. Just mm-hmm. to give you two examples. In the Black Forest in southern Germany, we had a century-old tradition of watchmaking. Watchmaking is watch and clockmaking is fine competencies, fine mechanics.
Yes.
This industry has disappeared from, it has emerged medical technology industry. So in this region, we have more than 500 medical technology firms, most of them hidden champions. Or let's take a second case, Göttingen, that's an old university town in northern Germany. In Göttingen, we have 39 measurement technology companies. Why? Göttingen for centuries has been the leading mathematical faculty in the world, and they derived their products from the laws the mathematicians in Göttingen detected. 39 hidden champions in measurement technologies.
Right. Okay.
So this is one reason. Another reason is that it related to internationalization and globalization. Until 1918, Germany was not a nation state, but consisted of 23 monarchies and 3 republics. So somebody in Munich, in Bavaria, who wanted to grow had to do international business. If they sold to Düsseldorf or Cologne, that was a different state. So German entrepreneurs that has become part of their DNA go international much more quickly than American or Japanese or French. Everybody here, when they start a business, they immediately go international. That's why these companies today often have more than 100 subsidiaries. As in our case, Simon Kutcher, we have 45 offices all over the world. Among the larger states, the larger countries, Germany is the most internationalized country. Smaller ones like Switzerland, Scandinavia, etc., are even more internationalized. But among the larger countries, Germany is by far the mentally most internationalized country.
Okay, so interesting, Herman. You've talked about the historical grounding of some of this sort of knowledge and skill sets that have been developed over time that have morphed into the market offerings that these organizations now have. I mean, you've explained that they've been quicker perhaps than others around the world to embrace the opportunity of export. They've sort of thought export first, almost, or very early on. And they've become successful, but why do they stay hidden? Why are they still under the radar?
There are two reasons. One is that people simply do not know their products. I mean, when I say that Apple has 667 suppliers from Germany, you see the smartphone, but you don't see what is in the smartphone. So most of the products of the hidden champions are invisible to the consumer, to the user. And a second reason is that these companies tend to be quite secretive. That applies especially to their research, development, innovation. But they focus on their business. Focus is a very important pillar of their strategy. And they don't do big advertising. They don't appear in the public. That's not relevant for them because they do not sell to end consumers. So their names and what they do are remain unknown, remain hidden.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, I'm sure not exclusively, they are largely business to business rather than business to consumer.
Yes, about 70% are business to business, about 18% or so are consumer products, and 12% are services.
Right. Okay. Okay, so they're not under the radar as far as their customers or their clients are concerned, but they are
of course the
broader populations and advertising and marketing and so on. So, okay,
so their customers, they are very well known, have an outstanding reputation. So they are global brands, but only known by their customers and in their industry sector.
Okay. So they play their, to use a sort of saying, they play their cards quite close to their chest. They're quite secretive, as you said, about their product development and technology. What characterizes a hidden champion, would you say, Herman?
If we look at the three pillars of their strategy, they are as follows. First, the ambition to be the best in their market. And many of these companies express that explicitly. For instance, Stihl, the global leader in chainsaws and similar products, they say...
Oh, yes, I've heard of them.
We only do it if we are the best. Okay. Or to take a modern product, DeepL is the best translation service in the world. They say, we do the best translation in the world. And they have there are many tests against Google and Microsoft Translation. And DeepL is by far the best from Cologne, actually. Mm-hmm. So the ambition to be the best, there it starts. We have the ambition to be the best in pricing, and we are. How do you become the best? Only by focusing. Only focus leads to world class. So they focus on a narrow market or a specific technology. But focus makes a market small. How do you make it big? By globalizing. So these are the three essential pillars. Ambition to be the best, focus, globalization. And the means to achieve that are then innovation, closeness to customer, clear competitive advantages, and they have inner strengths to which we come in our discussion related to the employees, the qualification, and also to the leaders.
Yes.
So their strategies are very clear cut, and with their concentration and focus, they really consistently follow and implement these strategies.
Righto. So this is really where I wanted to take our conversation next, Herman, if I may. Clearly, all of these organizations have leadership teams. They may be founders who've gone on to grow them, or they may be older than that now. But it'd be interesting to understand these hidden champions from the perspective of the people, the culture, how they engage their people in their ambition to be the best, how they engage their people to develop their technology or their products to be innovative and constantly being at the forefront of innovation. Because that takes a culture, doesn't it? You have to create a kind of culture that will take your people with you on that journey. And I wonder whether hidden champions have a particular kind of culture that helps them to succeed in those things. Is that something you have experience of seeing?
Yes. I have visited hundreds of hidden champions, and when I go back home, I am very often, almost always, deeply impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Culture plays a key role. Let's look at employees, innovation, and leaders to split that up a little bit and make it clearer.
Yes, please.
Employees are highly motivated and qualified. That is reflected in a couple of indicators. First, the turnover rate or churn rate at the Hidden Champions is 2.7% per year. So practically nobody leaves.
Goodness,
the
that
average,
is very low.
The average for Germany is 7.3. The average for the world is about 11.5. And in the US, it's even 19%. 2.7% churn rate per year.
Right.
The Hidden Champions invest 50% more in vocational training than the average German company. And on an international level, the investment in vocational training in Germany is the highest in the world, and they are 50% higher.
Wow.
Qualification they have doubled their percentage of university graduates from 10 to 20% in the last 10 years. So ever higher qualification. Global
right.
competition today is more and more about qualification. Innovation, of course, the foundation there is ambition to be the best, with which requires continuous innovation.
Hmm.
They spend twice as much as the average German company on research and development. But what is more important, they have five times more patents than the average German company. And Germany is very high on the patent scale already.
So Germany as a whole is already highly well up there, but they've got five times as much more patents.
On a per capita basis, we have about four times more European patents than the UK. So
yes.
We are already very high, and the hidden champions are actually much higher than the average.
Goodness.
On the leaders, that's very interesting. I observe a total identification of the person and the purpose, you could say, to
mm-hmm.
use a modern buzzword.
Mm.
And they haven't called it an ambivalent leadership style, which is authoritarian in the principles. When it comes to the principles, say that quality must be very good, that we are innovative, etc. It's top down. It's authoritarian. But when it comes to the implementation, the employees have much more freedom than in large corporations. We call that mission-oriented leadership. So it's very clear what the direction, the vision, the priorities are, but how they, as employees, realize, implement this mission and vision, they have much more freedom than in large corporations, which
That's
requires, of course, the high qualification. You can only do that with people who can think, who are highly qualified, who know their trait.
Yes,
and then,
this is really, really, sorry, carry on. I will comment on what you're saying in a moment. Please do carry on. Don't let me interrupt you.
Yeah. A further indicator is the average tenure of the CEOs in Hidden Champions is 21 years. In large corporations, it's 6 years. And I think that says everything about continuity and long-term orientation. So these are a few characteristic traits of the hidden champions compared to average companies or to large corporations related to culture, motivation, leadership.
Mm. That's really, really interesting. And, you know, it's quite stark, actually. Some of those numbers that you've just listed there, Herman, are really quite eye-watering, actually. But what I'm particularly just like to draw our listeners' attention to, particularly those who maybe are not as familiar with Engage for Success and the work that the movement has done over the last 10 years. We look at employee engagement. We look at what are known as the four enablers of engagement. And that is a lens through which the original founders of Engage for Success looked when they published the original Nailing the Evidence report. And they found four enablers of an engaged workforce and by definition, therefore, a high-performing workforce. And two of those you've talked about there with your leadership observations, because the first enabler is that organizations with a highly engaged workforce have a visible and empowering leadership team who can tell a strong narrative or story about the where the organization has come from and where it's going. They can very clearly articulate that purpose, that ambition, that vision, that mission, and take their people on that journey with them. You've talked about that.
Absolutely.
And one of the others is what we call employee voice. And that is basically saying, this isn't simply about running a survey once a year or every quarter with your people to find out, you know, how they're feeling about work, or putting that in a, you know, in a shorthand kind of way. It is much more strategic than that. It's actually saying that your people are absolutely central to your organization's success. They're crucial to innovation, they're crucial to creativity, and more often than not, your people have the answers to the business challenges that you face, if you will only give them the freedom to be listened to and the opportunities to contribute. They will bring that expertise and that experience to bear. And organizations that listen to employee voice and tap into employee voice,
yeah, it goes even further. I said they have the freedom to carry out their job according to their best knowledge, and that's not described by manuals or predefined processes. And for instance, another interesting number, closeness to customers. 38% of the employees of the Hidden Champions have regular customer contacts. For large corporations, that's only 8%. That tells you everything about customer orientation.
Absolutely, yes. Really interesting. I mean, yes, you're talking there about employee freedom to implement, having autonomy.
Having autonomy.
And all of these things lead into not just higher levels of employee engagement, but better customer satisfaction. They lead into reduced turnover and churn. They feed into better talent attraction, better productivity, better profitability. All of these things come from a more engaged workforce. So now I'm really heartened to see the alignment between the KPIs and the measures that you've described, but also the cultural and people approaches that your Hidden Champion businesses seem to share in terms of common traits. So really, really interesting, Herman.
Yeah, there are certain conditions which they are helpful for these attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
One is most of the Hidden Champions are located in rural areas, in small towns, in villages, not in the big cities. Whereas there are much more in big cities, there's much more distraction and less loyalty. So it means that employer and employee are mutually dependent from each other. And further factor is, of course, the employees are proud to be number one in the world. It's motivating to be number one rather than to be a loser.
Sure, absolutely. Well, that's really, really, it's fascinating. And I very much appreciate you joining us today to sort of share not only this sort of theme and this concept of Hidden Champions, but with it so very well documented and supported by some evidence that you can point to. And I certainly feel that I've learned a lot talking to you in the last half hour, Herman. So
you can find all the details in my most recent book, Hidden Champions in the Chinese Century, which was published a few months ago. Hidden Champions in the Chinese Century.
Okay, lovely. We will look out for that, and we have, do we have that on the show page? I'm not sure, but I'll make sure we do. Lovely. We've got half a minute left, that's all. So can I just ask you if there was, apart from obviously finding out more from your book, Hidden Champions in the Chinese Century, is there one thing you would like our listeners to take away and think about how they might be more hidden champion in their day-to-day approach?
So 2 points. First, I applied this strategy to Simon Kutcher, and it worked. So I can assure you from my own experience, this strategy, ambition-focused globalization, works. The second is, I give to your listeners my motto from Seneca, the Roman philosopher, per aspera ad astra, which means on rough roads to the stars. You need a vision. Don't lose sight of the stars, but be prepared that you reach stars only on rough roads. It's not a well-paved road. Per aspera ad astra. That's my motto, and I recommend it to you.
And that's a lovely way to close our show. Thank you to this week's special guest, Herman Simon, founder of Simon Kutcher and Partners, for talking to us about hidden champions. And I will thank you very much for joining us, Herman, and thank you very much for listening.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.